trying to escape out of the first chapter of Titus, and I think we're going to do it tonight. Amen. We'll do our best anyway. Well, I'm going to have to stand right here in front of you as best I can because my microphone's dead. So we'll just go with this right here. Amen. Let's look in our Bibles, if you will, though, back in Titus chapter number 1. If you'll flip there, Titus chapter number 1. And we've been talking about the idea of why Paul said that he was leaving Titus in this little island nation called Crete. And tonight we'll talk a little bit about, because of the reading that there is, a little bit about some of the things about the people that live in, that are native folks there in Crete, that they, some of the things they have that the Bible tells us. And as a matter of fact, Paul quotes one of their own, I don't know if you'd say philosophers or historians or what he is, but anyway, he tells a little bit of information about those folks that are the Cretans. He talks about their habits and their ways and all that. But the only thing about it, they're not well thought of. So, I got to thinking about that with us. And, you know, how do people perceive us? And I'll just tell you, if you hadn't figured it out, people believe that a lot of us from the South are slow-minded and slow-witted and slow in our understanding. I mean, because I guess it's because of the way we talk and the way we draw things out. And you know, people, when I went to school in Atlanta, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, okay? I'm in Atlanta, and there's all these folks that are in the school. They're kind of multicultural. There's all kinds of folks there. And there's a bunch of Yankees. Somebody say amen right there to Yankees. Anyway, they were there. And so, you know, I'm from Rossville, Georgia. How you doing, you know? And I'm talking along, and there's about three or four of these guys. They come over and they look at me and they say, "Say that again." And I said whatever I said, you know. They just started dying laughing. I said, "Let me tell you guys something. I said, this is Atlanta, Georgia. You're in the South. You're the ones that sound funny. You're from New York or Boston or wherever they're from." So, you know, we've all got our little things, right? Well, the folks here in Crete have their own little problems and issues. So let's look at that, though, if you would, tonight. Start with me in verse number 10. And we've been talking about how the Lord told Paul told Titus here, after the Lord told him, how to get things kind of in order and get it straightened out. And as we've been talking about, this is the truth of God's word being tested and tried. And certainly, we've looked at the order of expectations, the ordination. We looked at that last. But tonight, here's what we're going to look at, overcoming some errors. Overcoming some errors. Look with me in verse number 10. And this is what Paul says. "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for tonight. And I thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that you just reveal and show to us as your children. Help us to have the understanding, the wisdom, the mindset that we need tonight from the Word of God and on these very important things. Just give us your direction and your help tonight. Help us to be that kind of church that would stand for you, stand for the Word of God, and stand against some things at the time that it's needed. And we'll just praise you for that and pray we'd see lost folks saved, see people come to know Christ. We'll love you for it and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, as you begin to look at this, Paul starts out and says this in verse number 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Now, Paul has been given all of this directive, if you will, to Titus and said, "Here's what I want you to do." And he said, you know, set some stuff in order that needs to be set in order. And then he says, I want you to ordain elders. That's a needful proposition. But here he says, here's the reason why. There is a reason to this. You know, there's a lot of folks say, oh, well, all you preacher types and all you church types, y'all got a bunch of rules and you say this got to be this way and all of that. And they don't sometimes understand why. I think sometimes even good church folks don't understand why we do the things that we do. But there are reasons for why the Bible tells you and explains you how you're to live, what you're to do, and how a church is to be organized, and how churches to operate. All of those things are found in this book. And many of those things that we've already seen, they are found here in this little book of the book of Titus. So it is something that is good. And I'll just throw this out here. We all know this, but doctrine is necessary. Doctrine is always necessary. You've got to have it. You know, there's a lot of folks, oh, well, preacher, we don't care about doctrine. That's for you preacher types and for those theological folks and for the, you know, the school teachers there in the seminaries. No, doctrine is good for every one of us, right? Doctrinal issues we need to stand on. Amen? And that's where Paul is headed with this line of reasoning. This is why Paul is instructing him, and he's using such carefulness in his words and in his instruction, and he's using seriousness. I mean, this is something that is pretty serious. You see how he starts this out in verse number 10 again? "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers." I mean, he said, y'all got some folks there, and they've got some problems. And because of that, you've got some problems. So he says, Titus, I understand where I have put you, and it's a pretty tough place to be, but here's what I'm expecting. Here's what I see that is some of that needs to be set in order. And here's why you need to ordain those elders. And this is why I say the elders should have the following qualifications, the characteristics, all of those things that he mentioned. He said, this is why. He said, because there are many, he says, that are unruly, vain talkers, and deceivers. I mean, you've got some folks that have come try to take over if they can, is what Paul is warning against. So notice, if you will, how Paul is talking about how you're going to overcome these that are there with the errors. And let's talk about those that are in the place of error. Let's just talk about them. He says, you're going to have to overcome these errors because here's what's happening. First of all, he said, there are those that resist authority. There are those that will resist authority. Now, that was happening in that day. He says, there's many that are unruly, vain talkers, deceivers. And, man, he says, you got to be ready to do something in this instance because they are resisting the authority. Now, you know, a lot of folks say, well, no preacher's going to tell me what to do. You ever heard that before? You ever heard somebody say that just off the cuff out of your family or out of your work or wherever it is? I've had people tell me, they say, that preacher thinks he's going to. It's not me trying to tell anybody what to do. I'm simply preaching the Bible. Amen? And like the old guy says, don't shoot the mail carrier. He's just delivering the mail. Amen. I mean, he's just giving you, it's not my word. And this is not Paul's word. This is Paul's instruction through the touch of the Holy Ghost on his life. He said, this is the way that God says things ought to be set and organized and placed in the local church assembly. So that's where all of this is coming from. But he said, there are those that resist the authority. By that, I mean they refuse to recognize the authority of those that God has put in the place of leadership. I mean, as I say, you'll hear that all the time. He said, these people are three things. He said, first of all, they're disorderly. He said, they're unruly. They're disorderly. I mean, they're not standing for anybody to straighten out the orderliness of anything that goes on. They don't care about it. I mean, they say, look, again, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I mean, here we are. They are headstrong, undisciplined. I mean, I'm going to have my way. I'm going to do it my way. And I don't care what any preacher, I don't care what any teacher, I don't care what anybody says that the Bible says, I'm going to do it my way. Amen. You know, I honestly, been a long time ago, but I did hear a lady say this on the radio. I was listening to somebody back at that time when WFLI was a Christian ministry, and they have had broadcast. And of course, you know, you open yourself up, you got to let anybody come on the air that gets on it. Well, there was this lady that was preaching. I just happened to be in the car, and I was tuned in the radio there, and usually you could hear good stuff. But here was this lady got on there, and she's preaching. And I thought, this has got to be good. I want to hear what this gal's got to say. So she's carrying on and reading the Bible and talking. She said, bless God, she said, there's a bunch out there that says that Paul said women shouldn't be preaching. She said, I'm going to tell you what, I don't care what Paul said, I'm going to do what God said. And I thought, you're a nut. About that time, I flipped my channel and I went somewhere else. Because let me tell you, that is the way people operate. Nobody's going to tell me. I mean, they have got their mind made up. They are disorderly. Listen, God, as I told you before, God is a God of order. God puts things in order. God is looking at order. God is expecting order. And through his church, he's looking for us to be orderly in what we do. There are some rules. There are some boundaries. And listen, you know, as people tell you that all the time. They say, oh, you preachers think this and that. No, it's not that we think it. We've read it in the Bible, and the Bible has instructed us to do these things by this certain way. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick with the Bible. Well, I don't feel like. And God don't care what you feel like. God doesn't care what I feel like. He doesn't care what anybody feels. He has a solid word as he commands, and you and I are to live by that, okay? We're to live by the word of God. So, first of all, they're disorderly, but not only this, he says that they are vain talkers. That means that they are disputers. They want to talk and say empty stuff, really, vanity. The word vanity there indicates emptiness. It's hollow. Whatever they say, boy, they're good talkers, but they don't have anything to say. You ever heard anybody like that? They can talk a good talk, but they really don't have any content to anything they're saying. They wind up being disorderly. They wind up disputing and said, yeah, well, y'all think this, but. And they get into that disputing mode. And they're just vain talkers. I mean, they love to tell you whatever they're thinking and whatever their private interpretation and whatever their special message from God. But can I tell you, you've got a Bible just like I do, and God's spoken to us through this word. Amen? So you've got those that, as I say, they're subversive. I mean, that's the next word we're going to look at here in a few minutes. But he said they are this right here. He said the third thing in this, he said they're unruly, they're vain. He said, and they're deceivers. They're deceivers. They will deceive you and pull this over on you as much as they can. They'll try to make it sound like something good, something, oh, hallelujah, you know, whatever it is. But let me just tell you, it's a bunch of junk. There is no truth. There is no fact. There is no merit to anything that they say. It's simply deceptive practices. And I'll tell you, none of us should be listening to those that are deceivers. I mean, this world is full of them. I mean, they're just after whatever they can get. They are out of control when it comes to being in on the part where they're under the authority of the person of God and the church itself, okay? They are, as I say, they resist the authority. So not only are they resisting authority, I want you to notice this. Secondly, Paul says, look, this winds up ruining the family. Look in verse number 10. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. He says, especially they of the circumcision. Now, what he's talking about there are those that are Jewish in their mindset, not necessarily that they're saved, but they're Jewish. He said, whose mouths must be stopped. Listen, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. What he's saying is they are here to ruin the structure of the family. That's what they want to do. They want to tear. You see that word subvert? I mean, it is the word that means to overthrow or to tear down or to destroy. That's what they want to do. He said they're subverting the whole family. If the devil can get in just in the doorway at your house just a little bit, he'll push the door open, he'll come in, he'll get daddy, he'll get mama, he'll get son, he'll get daughter, he'll get whoever he can get in that house, and he will drag the whole family down. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. He said they subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They're in here spreading some deceptive and wicked stuff. Do you know? Listen, I mean, you're probably like me. When the JWs come up to the house, you know what I do? Either don't answer the door or I walk out on my porch. They're not coming in. Amen? And let me just tell you. Hey, I heard somebody saying this the other day. They're talking about the Mormons. They said, riding a bicycle don't make you an elder in the sight of God. Amen? Wearing a little white shirt and running around here with your little Book of Mormon or whatever, that does not make you an elder according to the Word of God. We just read every bit of that before. Riding a bicycle ain't going to get you nowhere but across town probably, right? But there's a lot of folks that say, oh, well, we got to do this. Listen, don't fall for that stuff. I'm telling you, it can ruin your entire family. It can mess up everything that goes on. And they're trying to undermine. They come in with false teaching. They come in with doctrine that will mess things up. But I'm telling you, listen. I found this quote somewhere that says, doctrine determines the direction of our behavior. Doctrine determines the direction of our behavior. Whatever kind of doctrine you're listening to, whatever doctrine you get under your belt, whatever doctrine you begin to live by, brother, that's going to show up. Whether it's right doctrine or wrong doctrine, but it will show up in your life somehow. And it'll run out your mouth when you begin to open and speak. People will know whether they can understand or not. And listen, look what he says there in verse number 9. He says, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You need sound doctrine. As I said, doctrine matters. It is important. We've got to have it. And it must be sound doctrine to get the job done. Because look what he says. He says that they're teaching things which they ought not. False doctrine. But you see why they're doing it. He said, for filthy lucre's sake. It's all about the dollars. Now, I mean, I've seen some of these guys on TV, just like you have too, and that filthy lucre seems to be the almighty dollar seems to be their ultimate goal. I mean, the ultimate goal of a lot of this preaching that you see is to, just get everything they can. Take everything they can. Oh, if you'll send me $1,000. Oh, I've prayed over this little handkerchief. I've sweat on it. I've spit on it. And it'll bless you. Hey, I got some. You got $1,000? Come on. I got some. It's got some Steve sweat and Steve spit on it. I don't know if it'll help you or not, but it sure will help me with $1,000. Amen. Huh? I'm just telling you, that's what you're hearing out of a lot of these guys. You know, and then silly stuff like whoever it was, Creflo Dollar, God said you need to send me $273 million so I can buy an airplane. Really? I didn't get that memo anywhere along the line. But I'm just telling you, that's the kind of stuff like the old preacher used to tell us. He said, you know how these folks are in church? He said, they want Johnny Cash to come in. They want June Cash, and pretty soon they got your cash. Amen. That's the way it goes, isn't it? I'm just telling you, hey, the dollar is what a lot of them are after. They're following that dollar. I mean, look what he says. I mean, verse number 12, one of themselves, he says, even a prophet of their own said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow belly. He said, you know what they are? They're fat and lazy, and they're trying to be robbing you and taking everything they can, and they're liars. Wow, that's pretty tough for Paul just to jump out there and say that. But he said, I'm just quoting one of their own prophets, and that's what he said about them. He said in verse number 13, this witness is true. Amen. He said, I'm telling you, you can back it up, and you see it there with what you see in Crete. It's the truth, Titus. So just keep on preaching the truth. All right? So the idea here, they're trying to bring disgrace, disrespect to the doctrine and the word of God. They're trying to get you money, and they don't care anything about you or about what you're doing. Amen? So they're ruining your family. But he says not only that, they're resisting the authority, they're ruining the family. He said they are rejecting the validity. And what I mean by that is they're rejecting the validity of the word of God. Notice what he says there in verse number 14, or verse 13, he says, this witness is true. Wherefore, he says, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Do you notice that? They reject the validity of the Bible. Well, I know the Bible, but let me tell you what that means. Oh, really? Can I tell you, let me tell you a little story that I've heard several times. There are people today that will tell you the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God sent down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed those cities. You know what he destroyed it for? Because those people were not hospitable to strangers. I said, you've lost your mind. I'm telling you, God's judged sin. It doesn't have anything to, oh, well, those men that came because there was the angels came out of town and you know, they wanted to be, and they were rejected the hospital. I don't believe that anymore, and I believe nothing. Amen? I mean, that's the biggest pile of garbage. Those men were wicked sinners. That's what God said. Their wickedness has come up from before me. It wasn't because they didn't have a hospitable attitude and heart. It's because they were wicked with the devil in their heart to the very core. Amen. And he destroyed them from off the face of the earth. Amen. I'm just telling you, God, you know, that's ridiculous. But there's folks out there telling that. That's their thought. I mean, you know, there's people got all kind of theories about, oh, well, the children of Israel really didn't pass over real deep water at the Red Sea. You're dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. I mean, extra dumb, if you believe that. I mean, you need to read your Bible and see how God pushed the water back, blew the wind through, let them pass. And I'll tell you what, even if that's true, that they passed through in very limited amount of water, I tell you what the miracle was then. He drowned a whole Egyptian army in 2 or 3 inches of water. Amen. That's surprising, isn't it? I mean, look, the Bible is true. You've got to stand with the truth. They're rejecting the validity. Look what it says there in verse number 15. or verse number 16, I'm sorry. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Now, Paul is, you know, kind of getting his back of that neck, his hair is getting kind of stand up, getting to thinking about this whole thing right now. This is a, you know, he's getting riled up. And rightfully so. He said, they have rejected the validity. They profess that they have the knowledge of God, but they practice something else. Their practice is wicked. Their practice is wrong. He said, they're abominable, they're disobedient, and unto everything that they could do that's a good work, they're reprobates concerning that. You think they understood those words? Oh, Paul didn't tippy-toe around. He didn't say, well, you know, let's be nice and sweet. No, he just blasted them. He said, I want to tell you, Titus, this is what you are facing. And this is why I have put you here. He said, look here in verse number 15 now. He said, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Paul said, there are some folks that are pure, and let's compare them, he said, to these others, they are polluted. Oh, they may be professors, but they sure do not possess anything. They can tell you, they can talk a big game, but he said, they profess they know God. Listen, I'm telling you, the devils will tell you they know God, but the devil ain't saved, is he? The demons of hell, they believe that they ain't saved. Amen? I'm just telling you, you got to be careful because that is their very essence, is that they're trying to destroy those things that are built upon the truth of the Word of God. Well, real quickly, let's look at this, if you will. Because he's brought up all of these things that are the errors, let's talk about how we're going to overcome a remedy for these problems. First of all, I want you to notice this. Look back, if you will. In verse number 11, Paul said, Titus, you gotta put an end to this. Listen to what he says in verse number 11. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. Look, the first thing that Paul says, he said, the remedy for this stuff is you gotta silence the mouth of those that are overflowing with errors. You gotta silence their mouth. He says, and if you'll notice what he says there in that, he said, whose mouth must be stopped. You remember what Jesus said about must? He said, marvel not, I say unto you, you must. You know what that means? There's no other option. It's not, well, you might want to see. No, he said, you must stop these mouths from running off. You must put, and really, the idea of that stopped has the idea of like putting a gag in their mouth to keep anything else from coming out. He said, hey, Titus, stop them up. I mean, plug up that stuff because it's rotten, filthy, stinking wrong what's running out of their mouths. And it must be stopped. You got to silence that. It's absolutely necessary that you stop this stuff from going on. Amen? I mean, hey, preachers, we got to stand up. We got to say, it ain't right. Amen? I mean, there's folks who say stuff, and I know sometimes all of us can say goofy stuff sometimes in church. You know, I've told y'all. Let me just tell you, have kids. They'll straighten you out. Amen? I was preaching when I was pastoring out on Sand Mountain, and we got in the car, and one of my boys, or both of them really, they said, Dad, you know what you said today? I said, no, but I've got a feeling I'm about to find out what I said. They said, you said George Washington discovered America. I said, he did. Amen. That's not what they told us. It's because all your teachers wrong at school. Amen. No, I did have to get that straightened out. I said, well, you know what I mean. Somebody discovered it. He was the first president. I mean, he got to back up and crawl. But as I say, sometimes we can all say dumb stuff and wrong stuff. But if you do that, it's a good idea to correct it when you can. But here, they're letting their mouths run off, and they have no intention of correcting, though. They want it to be wrong, and they want to teach it from wrong. And you notice that it says here that most of these, as Paul writes, and he says, especially they of the circumcision, those are the folks that have that Jewish background. And they're trying to get rid of some of those things that Paul has established as doctrine, that it's by grace, no more by sacrifices. It's not circumcision anymore. It's not anything under the law. And they're trying to come in and subvert that and turn that around. And Paul says, cut them off. Stop up the flow of that. Make them hush, if you will. But second of all, notice this, that he says this in verse number 13. He said, this witness is true. He's talking about what they said about the Cretans. He said, wherefore, because of this, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. Now what Paul is saying here is, you see that word they, here he's talking to the folks that are saved, they. In other words, he's saying, look, they need to hear that they may be sound in faith. He said, rebuke them. When they hear this, and when they might even start repeating it, rebuke them openly. You remember what the Bible says? When Paul is writing to Timothy, just a little bit before this, in the last chapter of the book right before that, in chapter number 4, what does he say in verse number 1, chapter 4 of Timothy? I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. What does he say? The instant, in season, out of season. Listen, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, look, doctrine is important. Titus, rebuke them. I mean, it's a tough thing. But man, you ever been there? I've been in some churches, buddy, where somebody got a rebuke. I've seen preachers tell somebody standing up and they're saying something and it's wrong. They say, sit down, sir. We need to talk after church because that ain't right. I've seen preachers get up and correct something that had been said maybe by a Sunday school teacher or somebody that was visiting and even talking. I've seen them get up and put them right in their place and say, that ain't right. That's rebuke. And if it's scriptural, if it's against the word of God, what's been said, you need to set it straight. And he says, you do that. And you notice what he says? He says, you do it sharply and severely. And that word means just like cutting them with a knife. He said, rebuke them. I mean, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. We need to get the true doctrine, the right thing. Get that across and let folks be sound in their doctrine. Sound in their doctrine. So Paul is saying, look, say folks don't need to revert back to the old ways that they were. Because, this is what somebody said about the Cretans. They were lying, lustful, low down, and lazy. Amen? The four L's. Well, they got them all covered, right? All right, so he says, look, just rebuke them soundly and sharply. And then a third thing that he says is you need to secure the sound doctrine of the faithful. Look down at verse number 1 of chapter 2. You're right there at it. He said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Those things that you say, those things that you preach, those things that you teach, those things that you give them for their learning and their admonition and their understanding, let it be sound doctrine. He said, that's what you need to do. You need to secure that sound doctrine. See, he says there in verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn them from the truth. We don't need that. Oh, let me tell y'all a little fairy tale about this and that. Hey, don't listen to that stuff. As a matter of fact, that was the same thing that Paul told Timothy, wasn't it? He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear some little story, some little feel good, some little something that makes them do this or that or the other with their emotion. He said, give them sound doctrine. Give them something sound. That's what we need today. And he's like, you know, don't give the devil any opportunity. Don't give place for his little stories. He said fables or the commandments of men. That will turn people from the truth. Well, you know what Grandma and Grandpa used to say? Well, very respectfully, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what Grandma and Grandpa used to say. The Word of God's still right. Amen? I'm telling you. What was the old poem? I think a fellow used to tell me, feelings come, feelings go, and feelings can be deceiving. But I'm going to stand upon the Word of God. It's the only thing worth believing. Amen? I'm just telling you, your feelings may change, and you're thinking about those feelings may change, but the Word of God never changes. It never changes. So, look, do not turn from the truth. I mean, listen, you've got people today, and they will, and just, you know, I don't really recommend it too much, but if you want to find out, sit down and watch them. Watch these health and wealth guys on TV. Oh, you can live your best life today. That's wrong. Hey, I'm just telling you, I'm living here, but my best life is yet to come. Amen. I'm going somewhere where I'll be with the Lord forever, and we're going to have joy unspeakable, full of glory, saved. I'm going to be with the saints. Hey, that's going to be my best life. Amen. I'm telling you, you'll hear the health and, oh, you'll never. Well, God wants you prosper. Well, can I tell you, Paul didn't get that memo, did he? I mean, Paul had a rough time many times financially, physically, and emotionally, and everywhere that he went, they hated him. They were trying to kill him. Can I tell you, that didn't work out too good for this crowd today. Amen? They'd say, well, if you send me more money, everything will be better. Paul never asked anybody. He just said, God put it on your heart, and you sent once and again to my necessities, and I'm just praising God for that. He said, but not that I'm speaking. He said, I'm not wanting a thing, for I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Amen? Now go tell that to a bunch of folks out there on the TV. Well, that couldn't be right. God wants me to be rich. He wants all y'all to be rich. That's not in your Bible anywhere. Oh, if you're saved, you'll never have a health issue. Oh, I'm sorry. Christians get cancer. Christians have heart attacks. Christians have problems. Christians have money issues. Christians have job things. Hey, that ain't in the Bible either, is it? Amen? That you're going to be wealthy, healthy, and no problems ever will come your way. That's a bunch of hogwash, right? I mean, and you know, there's people running around today, and I don't, there's one of the well-known guys in supposed to be in Christian circle, and he's come out with a doctrine now that, well, we just believe you go to hell and you burn up and that's it. Well, can I tell you one thing's wrong with that? It ain't right. Amen? I mean, that's the only thing wrong with it. It ain't right. God still got a literal burning hell that burns forever and forever and forever. And those that go there will be there forever, just like those that go to heaven will be there forever. I'm telling you, there's a crowd that says, oh, everybody's going to heaven. Boy, that still gets my gallbladder all tore up when I go through Fort Oglethorpe. And I see that truck. Everybody goes to heaven and stays. I want to go over there so bad and take a knife and just put, liar, amen. I want to, but I ain't done it yet. But I mean, I just can't believe it. Because everybody ain't going. It ain't, well, God's going to put them in hell for a while and bring them out and say, well, you know, you learned your lesson. No, it doesn't work like that. You better go back and read you a good Bible, amen. I mean, there's people tell you the devil's not real. There's people that tell you that water baptism will save you. There are people that tell you you need to go down to the fella at the corner church and sit in a little booth and tell him everything that you did, and he'll tell you what you got to do to get right. That's all wrong. Amen? And we still call it religion today. Oh, there's folks that say living right doesn't matter. They're saying that Jesus is not really God. You just get you one of them on your doorstep. Let them tell you, well, Jesus was a created being. He's a high angel. Hogwash. Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. The only begotten of God. I still believe that. Amen. There's folks that tell you, oh, that we all worship the same God. Preacher, it don't matter what religion. We all on that. Amen. That's the Greek for it, in case y'all didn't know. And, you know, and people say, oh, well, God wants you to be happy. Can I tell you, God is interested in holiness more than he is your happiness. Amen? And, of course, there's people that tell you, well, that's just a book. It's just a bunch of old stories people made up, and you don't have to put any confidence. It's just a little guideline for hogwash. This is the Word of God. And I believe it's settled forever in heaven. And I believe it's what you and I need to hear. I believe it's what you and I need to read. And I believe it's what you and I need to hide in our hearts, like the psalmist said, that I might not sin against thee. Amen? Boy, there's folks who'll tell you a whole lot of stuff. But Paul is telling Titus, get them settled towards sound doctrine. And that's what we need today. That's what we need. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's sing a verse of a song, if you would. Sound doctrine.